Hey everybody, welcome back to BRB. Oh, it's not BRB anymore, is it?
No,
oh,
I gotta stop doing that.
I fucked up immediately. Instantly fucked up. Now.
We already found the embarrassment. There it is.
There it is. Oh, Thor's the embarrassment.
That's what it is. That's what it is. He's gonna get me on that one.
Pressure's off.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Retro Handhelds Podcast. You're here with me, Thor.
Stubbs.
And me, Jay to the Bell.
Jay to the Bell, the developer for Faco 8, also known as Super Grom in the Discord. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Dude, thanks for being on.
Yeah.
We've been waiting for this episode for like a month and a half-ish now, right? For you to come on because of scheduling and all that kind of crap that we've had to go out. Jay is also the person that provided Retro Handhelds in general the Steam Deck, all right, that later on went to Russ. But dude, thank you. I want to make sure I have a public thank you so much for that. I had such a good time swapping out the NVMe drive on it, and a lot of people were like, I can't believe he's doing it, but we had a great time on that stream that went for like 3.5 hours, and literally like 2 days later, it was shipped off to Russ because I didn't know what I was going to do with it after that because I have too many devices.
And then Russ fell in love, did all his content.
He did, yeah.
So when you guys made me so happy.
Oh, did it?
You guys could make good use of that. That was like, I actually got two reservations, a big enough household to have two Steam accounts, and by some miracle, both got reservations in Q1. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, man.
Happy to pass on the one to somebody who could use it better.
Like in the actual second that reservations went live, is that what you did? You were just right there?
Yeah, so on my account, I was on there live. I had added Steam credit to both accounts beforehand.
Okay.
And so on my primary account, it took a little while, but the whole thing went through, and I think it was 4 minutes. My reservation was like 4 minutes after the hour. And I was like, well, that went fast, so I'll go try the other one.
I was on at the exact moment. I didn't know about the Steam wallet trick that saved you from going through the processing and all that stuff. I wish I had. But it took me an hour and a half to get my original reservation that I ended up canceling because it would have been like Q3 by now, at least, you know. So,
yeah.
But dude, thank you so much. That was such a cool thing. You reached out to us, all right? And you're like, hey, you guys, you know, you feeling anything good here, you know?
Yeah, you were doing like, that move at the time when you were typing. Right.
Was that what you were doing?
I got a Steam Deck, 64 gigs, and it's going to give a good time.
But yeah, we had such a good time with that, and we've all made such good content with it. So again, thank you. That was such a kind thing to do, and we really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. You're welcome.
So
I am happy to announce that my Steam Deck finally shipped. That's all I can
say. Oh, there you go. He's got his deck on the way.
I'm going to, for the first time, touch a Steam Deck.
So. Totally isn't going to go to me in like 2 weeks. Don't worry about it.
Oh, if I hate it, I mean, sure.
If you hate it, right.
But it seems like I'm going to love it. So, I mean.
Yeah, you're going to love it.
I'm a pretty big fan of the one that I kept. I've been cruising through my backlog, my PC backlog, more than I have in a long, long time.
See, that's what I want to hear, man. That makes me hopeful for keeping my Steam Deck because I have this just shameful backlog of Steam games that I'm like, that sit there calling to me at night. They're like, Stubbs, play us, play us, please.
Yeah.
And I'm like, when I have a Steam Deck, even Elden Ring, I won't play until I have the Steam Deck.
Listen to him. I just want to play it on a mobile console. I just want to play it. Please.
I
work from home, but I need a mobile console.
Well, but so here's my thing that I think why I like the Steam Deck is I work from home too. But like I need to step away from my desk and be in a physically different spot. And you know, the TV it's just often being used, and the handheld I can like lay back on the couch or use it in bed, even though it's kind of big. Like I usually use it for less than an hour at a time. And so it's just finally made it through Jedi Fallen Order.
I'm playing through
Batman Arkham Knight right now.
I'm playing that right now.
Arkham Knight works better than Fallen Order did, actually.
Really?
Nice.
Yeah, I was surprised because of all the hullabaloo about how bad it was when it came out, but it stays at 60 most of the time, drops down to maybe like 45 occasionally. Like, nice. It's solid.
So like when it's loading or something like that, it drops down to 45, loading a new area or something?
It's the Batmobile parts seem a little more intense, I think, because you're moving so fast.
Right.
But like when it's just Batman, like it plays really well.
That's awesome, man. That's good to know. I didn't know that. I love those games.
Well,
Riddler challenges, though.
Way too many. Batman. I've been in a Batman kick lately. So I was playing Arkham Knight yesterday on my PS5 because I watched the new Batman movie, and I'm totally into Batman again because it was freaking awesome.
Yeah, it was
great. Really? It was like the best Batman movie I've seen in like 20 years. Like, it was so good.
And I don't know if you guys are familiar with like the classic Frank Miller, like grunge Batman, the dark feel,
the 1930s.
Yeah, like the 80s and early 90s ish Batman kind of stuff.
I read Year One. I think that was Frank Miller, right?
There's actually a reference to the journaling in there. This is year two. Yeah.
Well, so. HBO Max has all the Batman content right now. So that's place to go for that. And it's been really fun. My wife and I just watching just Batman movies, and it's just like the cartoons, all of it. It's just stupid good.
Wait, they have the cartoons?
They got all the cartoons on there.
They have Mask of the Phantasm?
Yes, they do.
Oh,
everything.
Oh, it's a good
Mask of the Phantasm is great. I have that on DVD actually.
Oh, dude, really? Oh, that's great, man.
This is now a Batman podcast. I'm sorry, everybody. But this is, from now on,
sorry,
I just want to talk about Batman.
We're not doing DC Extended Universe. Just Batman. That's it. Here we go.
Went to the Dollar Tree today and got the Caped Crusader. It was $1.25. And I'm like, I thought you guys were the Dollar Tree. She's like, no, we're the $1.25 store now. And I'm like, this is bullshit. I'm still going to buy it.
Call her the dollar-ish. I have the new The Batman Batmobile Lego over there, the Technic.
Ooh.
It's pretty
really?
Good. Yeah, it's pretty good.
I'm going to – wait, can I one-up you? 1 second.
Yeah, one-up me.
Always got to be that guy. One-upping everybody.
He asked for permission. You heard him ask for permission. Can I one-up you? May I one-up you? Yes.
So that makes me intrigued. I wasn't super excited about seeing the new Batman movie, but now you guys got me excited about it.
It's a total – uh-oh. He had to get a poster? What are you doing? Oh my lord.
I got the movie from the actual movie theater.
Wow. That's the dedication.
So you guys are probably familiar with Watchmen too, right? I assume.
Yeah.
Have you seen the tweet where it's a edited panel of what's his name? The blue guy, Mr. Universe?
Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah. Dr. Manhattan. Okay. Dr. Manhattan's on Mars, and in the actual comic he's like he's experiencing all these different times at the same time. But in the tweet edited version, he's like, it's 1989 and I'm watching a Tim Burton directed darker and grittier Batman. And it's 2012 and I'm watching a Christopher Nolan directed darker and grittier Batman. And then it's like, it's 2022 and I'm watching an even darker and grittier Batman. I am so very, very tired.
I will say that. The way that they shot it is so physically dark, right? Like it's just so not like, you know, evil dark. I mean, like literally no light dark.
You need to turn up your brightness to 100%.
I did that on my, you know, Sony 4K TV, blah, 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 blah. I was still like turning lights off, shutting the blinds, everything. And I'm still like, what? Why is this so dark?
Why is this?
I checked it on three different screens. Like, is it just HBO? Is that what it is? Or no, it's just the movie. It's so dark. It's just,
they made it really dark. I'm sure they'll release like a version later that's different, like they did with Justice League, where they made corrections or whatever. But I also want to say,
not black and white and cropped 4:3. So,
oh my God, I just read that drama, the Justice League thing. But I want to say thank you to Acorns, one of our patrons, for sending me this poster. He's like, hey, I got some movie posters for my theater. Anyone want posters? And I put my name in the hat. And he sent me this, as well as a Sonic poster, Uncharted as well. So I'm
welcome back to Retro Batman comic book.
We're just Batman all hours, all the time. No, but the
24/7 Dark Knight.
Where's the trigger? And also, where's the Win 600? Because we heard that Anne Burnick might have canceled it. Should we talk news real quick?
Yeah, so let's talk a little news.
Let's get a little news here.
So the Win, the Anne Burnick 600, the Amber Deck, as it was called at one point. It sounds like they're canceling it because Aya is entering the game for smaller Odin-like Windows handhelds. What do you guys think about that?
I mean, I saw ETA Prime's video about this morning, as probably many people did, about the new Aya Odin, the Odin killer, except it's Windows still.
Yeah, it's Windows.
It just is beautiful. I mean, it's a beautiful white Aya Neo handheld that's super thin.
That looks like an Odin.
And I'm sure, like, but I'm just worried about the cost.
The curls.
I'm worried about it's going to be, you know, $900, $1,000 or something.
Yeah.
And you know that the Winber deck, whatever you want to call it, was going to be probably like $600-ish. And I think they should still make it. I don't think they should cancel it. I want to see competition. Make it. Yeah. What do you think, Jade of the Bell?
I mean, I have kind of mixed feelings about it. Like I said, I'm a pretty big fan of my Steam Deck. I have a hard time believing that anybody can undercut Valve on price just because they're supposedly taking a loss. Right. I do kind of want a smaller, less powerful handheld to play indie games on. Mm-hmm. Like I've been tempted by the 552 mostly for the ports. You know, they just got the less running on it. Yeah. And so like a smaller Windows handheld at a, you know, if you could get one at a $300-$400 price point might still be tempting to me personally.
Do you know about the Windows distro for the Odin and the Odin Pro?
Yeah. I wasn't really that interested in the Odin until I saw that. And I was like, actually that
might be fun.
Yeah. I've been trying to hold off on buying an Odin or many other things. Most of the time when I've been buying handhelds, I can justify it by saying, oh, I need a port to it.
Right. Exactly. You got to get FACO 8 running on it. I mean, it's your duty to buy every
handheld.
That's
been my justification for almost every handheld that I've bought.
I stopped making justifications because I have a few now back there.
Yeah.
I
like to put my sickness on display these days.
A little bit, yeah.
Just a little bit. I've been hiding them for so long, and now I want to be loud. I want to be proud.
You sold them all at one point. Right. You had like one handheld at one point,
dude. I was down to
bought them all back recently.
Yes, I did, and then some. So now what?
Oh my gosh! So the Amber Deck is canceled. We've got the RG503. Real quick, though, I wanted to hit a small announcement in case you guys didn't see in the server. So the Odin Base Pro 128 and 256 gigabyte models, which should cover everything that's out there right now, I have finally released a stock package that should flash to all of them to get back to the beginning. So if you do get an Odin and you put Windows on it, you can actually go back to Android now if it's not up to your standards. So we'll throw that out there.
Oh, you couldn't go back before?
AYN has not released a stock package. No.
Oh, I did not.
Yeah, I've been working on this for like a month.
you are just on Windows. So
today, last night, I finally got the files I needed from everybody, from owners of the base, somebody who had a 256, blah, 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 blah. Redid some of the images, repackaged everything. I've been testing it all day today. And I finally, like moments before I was setting up for the podcast, finally released the AYN stock ROM package for the Odin Pro base and the various UFS file sizes.
Never rests. Always doing work, Thor.
You developers, you both just fill me full of wonder.
There's always something else to develop for, isn't there?
And there's always something to do, right? You got to keep going. Well, good. And I heard that Fake 08, Jay of Bell, you and I were talking before the cast, that Fake 08 has an Android port possibly coming.
Oh,
yeah, possibly. Well, I mean, let's see.
Here we go.
Do we use schematics? What do we have here? What's about to happen?
Come on,
Is that an RP2 Plus or an RP2?
It's just an RP2, but
yeah, with that 3D printed
with the grip. Yeah,
3D printed grip. Yep. I can't remember who designed this.
Love it. But
anyway, probably, yeah, I got a proof of concept working here.
The Celeste? Oh man, this Russ is going to flip out. He loves Celeste.
That's his.
Yes.
I mean, it's a little bit played out, but it's honestly my favorite Pico 8 game. So,
and you would know something about Pico 8, just a little bit. A
couple things, just right?
A thing or two
about Pico 8.
The emulator.
I have right now it's working. There's no touch screen controls, and it's hard coded just for the RP2 controls.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the things that's held me up working on it is like, well, if I'm going to actually release this thing, it probably needs a bunch of other work, and a lot of it's UI work. And I'm not a UI. I don't love working on UI. So as you can kind of tell by the UI on my app that looks like this.
I like it. It's simple though. You know,
let's start at the beginning though. With Pico 8. Can you tell our listeners what Pico 8 is? Because until somebody brought it up in RH, I had never heard of this. I think this is a fantastic idea.
Yes.
Yeah. Walk us through. Pico 8 was not created by me, but was created by a guy that goes by Zep. His name's Joseph White. And the idea is that he calls it a fantasy console. And now there's a bunch of fantasy consoles, I guess, but Pico 8 was the first one to be called a fantasy console. So maybe the idea is it's like an old console, but there's no actual physical hardware for it.
Right.
So it's made to have a retro aesthetic, but it's modern. Pico 8, you can program for using Lua. So it's, you don't have to write assembly code, but you can write games that are reminiscent of, the C64 or the NES. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it's also kind of its own thing. It's got a weird resolution, 128 by 128, and a bunch of other design choices that he made to specifically give constraints that breed creativity. And so there's a really cool community of making these cool little games. Lots are short, and, some working within this constraints, some doing really cool things to break outside of what you would expect to be able to do in this environment. Mm-hmm.
That's the rub, isn't it? I mean, how much of the internet is, you can do anything, you can go anywhere, you can do anything. And then how much creativity happens within these purposefully constrained spaces? I mean, 128 by 128. What's the color palette? How many colors are on it?
There's 16 at any time. It started with just 16. He later added a 16 alternate colors that are secret. They're documented now, but initially they were a secret.
Secret colors, like ordering off the secret menu.
I mean,
only show 16 at one time. So
I watch Brandon Greer on YouTube. I don't know if you're familiar with his work, but he's a pixel artist that explains Brandon David Greer, I believe. But he explains these retro aesthetics, right? Of working within a 1-bit color palette, of working within an 8-bit color palette only for the NES or for the Commodore 64. And what people, especially in the modern day, are able to do within these ultra constrained environments, the beautiful things that they're able to do is so wildly impressive that I can't get enough of it. I just can't. I think about fun with Fake 08, Pico 08, and I get excited because I want more of stuff like this, but it is extremely niche,
Yeah. And the 128, constraint isn't too crazy because back in the day, TI-83, my favorite calculator of all time. Back then, you had a 16, you had a 16 by 16 grid you had to work on if you were making games on that, which is the only thing that I've ever successfully developed in, by the way. That's the only thing I can claim to be a developer junior in. And it, but that it was fun having that limitation because you're like, all right, I'm going to make a Star Ocean fan game. You have 16 by 16 lines, and you got to like specify exactly where X and Y, where your little character is going to be. And having that get expanded to 128 by 128, I mean, that's, you can do a lot in there. You know, Celeste.
Well, I mean, like that, right? even the original Game Boy, the DMG was like, was 160 by 144. So this is actually a smaller, one by one grid than the original DMG, but it has the 16 color choices for the palette.
Colors. Yeah. And it's got much different actual speed constraints than that. But
what do you mean?
I'm trying to think how to explain this. So it's with an older processor like that, they had very, very slow CPUs, but they had specific hardware for moving pixels around, the PPUs on, I'm not actually sure if the Game Boy did, but that's what the NES and the SNES had, you know, a couple megahertz CPUs, but they had PPUs that could do specific things to make the graphics work. Pico 8 is basically all in software. You need like a 700 megahertz processor to run it well.
That's why it's always hard to run it. Even though the graphics seem simple,
yeah,
it seems like you need a lot of hardware to really give it the oomph it needs to get full speed, which is
Because A, it's run on a scripting engine. And so, you know, Lua is running in a virtual machine that's a layer removed from the bare metal. Plus it's doing, it's not using any kind of hardware acceleration to move the pixels around. It's doing, you know, every time you push a pixel, it's got to do that on the CPU. And so those two things kind of combine to make it why you need a 700 megahertz processor instead of a 7 megahertz processor to make a similar looking 8-bit game. I kind of made a decision that, if a platform runs Pico 8 proper, I don't think I want to provide a build for it. You know, so I'm not going to give Windows or Linux or Raspberry Pi or builds that run on, you know, the Ambernic devices that run it, which is the 351 devices all run Pico 8 proper. And I just, could, but
how do we get to Fake 08 from Pico 08? Where's the divide there? Why are there two different things specifically?
Yeah, thanks for bringing us back. So Pico 08 comes out, and I don't remember exactly. I think it came out in like 2013, 2014, somewhere in there. I heard about it a couple years later, and I was like, oh, that's cool. It looks like you can make like NES style games. I grew up, I'm super nostalgic for the NES. I always kind of wanted to make an NES game, but I never really wanted to learn assembly to do it.
Which is a huge pain, so by the way.
Yeah. So I eventually, a couple years later, you know, heard about it again. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to do this. So I bought a copy of Pico 8. I had a friend at work that had made a couple pretty cool games, and so he talked me into it. So I got a copy of Pico 8, and I made like a super simple, like, X-Wing shooter where just random TIE fighters come at you and you just shoot them. And I never released it because it was just super minimal. But I made that and I was like, this is really cool. But you know what would be even cooler? If it was running on my 3DS.
Boom.
Yeah. Okay.
So I had a 3DS. I still have a 3DS. I love the 3DS. But I knew that... I'd already jailbroken it so I could, you know, run Homebrew on the 3DS. And I was like, there's got to be a way to do this. And I stumbled on, or went looking, and there was a Pico 8 kind of emulator called PicoLove that basically runs Pico 8 games within the Love 2D game engine. Yeah, PicoLove. And then there also is an implementation of the Love 2D game engine for 3DS and Switch called Love Potion.
Okay.
And I started to write Pico Love Potion, which is a port of Pico Love to Love Potion.
Okay.
It didn't actually run on the 3DS. It only ran on the Switch. And I got it running. Celeste was working. But I hit up against enough limitations that I couldn't do the more complicated Pico 8 games. And I was like, ah, it's time to buckle down and, you know, write some C++, which I'd never really done before. Mm-hmm. So I kind of knew that I had to, but I was putting it off. This was the end of 2019. And then pandemic hits in 2020. Mm-hmm. And I had a week vacation scheduled from work in April that we canceled. We couldn't go anywhere. So we're like, we're having a staycation. And I was like, okay, I'll do some, you know, we'll hang out at home as one does in April of 2020. And then I was like, I should try this. So I started writing some C code that I had never really done before in April 2020. And it slowly grew into Fake Await over the last couple of years. I made a few notes here. When did I first release it? Probably in like May of 2020, something super simple released on the 3DS and the Switch.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
That was where I started because for me, really, it was about getting fulfilling a childhood dream of seeing a Star Wars game that I wrote running on Nintendo hardware.
There you go. Yeah.
And so then I achieved that and I was like, what else can I do? You know, let's keep making this better. And then somewhere along there, I got into, I can't remember if I subbed to Russ first or if I got into Russ because of his Vita content, but somewhere I stumbled upon Retro Game Core and the Vita.
Yeah.
And I ported Fake Away to the Vita. And, you know,
just
and
hell yeah.
For nerd ultra edification, what's it like developing a homebrew app for the Vita? Because that has to be, I mean, either the documentation is there or it's not. I mean, how'd that go?
It actually went pretty smoothly.
Really?
Yeah. The Vita homebrew scene is awesome. There's some really, really smart people doing great things there. The Android port stuff is mind-boggling to me still.
Oh, have you seen the hardware translation layer that they're working on?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, they've got a bunch of, yeah. It's a little bit annoying hanging out in their Discord and seeing people pop in and just be like, oh, when can you port this Android game? Like, no, it's not that easy. These guys are wizards. Leave them alone.
Yeah.
But anyway, there's a, I don't know how familiar you guys are with, different programming stuff. Have you heard of SDL? Simple SDL. Direct. What does it stand for? Super. I can't remember what it stands for, but it's a low level, but pretty portable API for basically graphics and audio and controls. And so I ordered my Vita.
Direct media layer.
Oh, so it is media layer. There's just no M in the acronym for some reason.
Why don't they add the M? We need to get that person on here and ask demand. What the hell?
Yeah. So the way that happened is I had already got it running on the 3DS and the Switch, and both of those I was basically doing direct frame buffer access for the graphics.
Yeah,
which is suboptimal, you know. But there is an SDL2 port for the Switch. And so I was like, well, I'll just convert my Switch version to SDL, and that should make it easier to go to the Vita. And sure enough, I got my Vita, you know, changed a few things around, and boom, it was running on the Vita. And I was like, well, that was nice. Awesome.
Yeah. So with the conversion to SDL, is that what makes it easily portable to other platforms as well now?
Somewhat, yeah. So the basic idea behind the architecture is that there's all the Pico 8 stuff over here that's in super portable C or C and C++. I'm not really a C or C++ developer still. This is all that I've ever really done.
Code base
is
have developed an emulator in C++.
Yeah, I'm nervous that like people with more experience are going to go look at my code base and be like, this is atrocious.
We need to have a conversation about imposter syndrome here, because I feel that way about everything that I think that I might be a little bit good at. I'm like, no, this is. But then people tell you, like, but you do the thing. You do the thing. So you are the thing.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know where to lie.
I felt that way about my Android firmware work until recently, honestly, until I released the original Odin's DockROM package, because it was a kind of a backbreaking thing to rip all that firmware out of there.
That was the line you said, you know, to say, okay, I'm a developer now.
Well, then as soon as I had one other person test the firmware, I was like, okay, I'm a real developer now, boys. All right, we're doing big this. Boy. Okay, yeah,
you're a real developer. Yeah. You're both developers.
You released Fake 08 on how many different platforms now?
I think 7.
Oh my gosh. See, there, yeah. No. So what, no, you're a C developer.
Don't list them off by memory. So there's Vita, there's 3DS.
Started on 3DS, Switch.
Great. Switch.
Then went to after I ordered my Vita, while it was in transit and it was taking longer than I thought, I did Wii U.
Yeah, you did.
So, okay.
Yeah.
So we got this. I like Nintendo, guys.
Yeah.
That's not coming out. But
I did get
Switch, Wii U, Vita. Then I think the next one was, you know, Russ's content got the Pow Kitty V90.
The V90.
So I went to there the V90.
There it
is, that snap. Yep. Oh, snap. So I like the V90 snap. A lot. I know.
Here he goes.
Oh, to the ball. One.
And no.
No.
Got the black one recently, I just gotta say. Just say.
So V90.
There it is.
What was next? Miu Mini might be next.
Oh yeah.
Got the Miu Mini.
Yeah. Oh. So you've been talking to Jim in Onion Land.
Yeah. How's that going?
Sure.
So the cool Miu dude. Mini was a fun one. Because Russ had his Miu Mini video and he was talking about how Pico 8 is garbage on it. And I was like, well, I'm taking that personally. I'm going to fix that.
Oh,
so I didn't even have a Miu
Mini
yet.
Fired. You know what? We're going to
have a Miu Mini yet.
We're going to have Russ on. We're going to talk about this. We're going to have Russ on. We're going to break this down. We're going to talk about this.
I mean, it's not like it was a personal attack. It was just like, it was more like, Russ is highlighting a problem that I can fix.
You can
this.
Fix it. Let's you can make it better. So how's it running now? Because Jim
runs
was
really well.
Jim Gray was singing your praises the other day. He was like, dude, he brought Fake 08 to the Miu Mini and it runs awesome.
It's like the Miu Mini. So Zep, who makes Pico 8, like one of his buzzwords.
Let me see your Mini real quick.
It's just the you know,
stock.
Plain. Stock.
That's wonderful.
I'm getting the official, unofficial Jim sticker for mine. The one with his sign
with Jim's face on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That picture came from Jim being in the car for like 3 hours or something like that to go to Easter dinner the other day.
Yeah. I like collecting little pieces of Jim as well here and there.
Jim is a gem.
He
anyway,
is.
Zep, who made Pico 8. He talked about how he wants Pico 8 to be a cozy development and gaming space. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, it's small. He said at one point, I watched a talk that he gave where he talks about how he feels like Lua is kind of a cozy language.
Yeah.
And I just feel like the Miu Mini is the coziest of little Pico 8
players. It
really is.
It's a cozy handheld. Yeah. You feel good playing it.
Do you know about, Playdate and Pulp? With Lua, with
I
that?
I do.
Yeah.
With the crank.
Relatively recently, I had my first like real legitimate contributor on Fake 08. Mm-hmm. A person that just started sending me pull requests, really cool stuff. And he, or I actually don't know, they just got a Playdate and they're like, I might take a stab at porting it to the Playdate. And I was like, oh, awesome.
Oh, man.
I wouldn't even have attempted that because of the color palette. But
right.
Wow.
Right.
That would
so
be.
So I have no idea how well it's going to work. I'm intrigued by the Playdate.
That would be crazy. You got to get a Playdate now. We all do.
You're right. I mean, that is the limitation is that the 1-bit color palette, right? So porting things like Celeste and stuff like that, that's not really going to work out. But I'm sure there could be plenty of games that are developed.
Words, Thor. You're going to be
I might.
Your words,
you know Jim. What? I might. I would be happy to. All right.
Have you seen? Yeah, you've seen these games that converted down to 1-bit, like 1-bit Doom on a Canon printer or whatever. Like,
Or on a pregnancy test. Yeah. I've
people are relentless. People are relentless. They will. We'll be seeing this working.
I hope so. Yeah. I hope so. I hope that there's maybe more and more Pico 8 stuff out there. So how about that?
Yeah. Stem? So speaking of Doom, just like this latest release, I got the Pico 8 demake of Doom working on it called Poom.
What? And that, I'm going to look this up. What is this?
Oh, yeah. Check it out. This is one of those things that's like nobody imagined this should work. But some technical wizardry happened from a couple of the really cool developers in the Pico 8 community.
The first headline, Doom miraculously ported to Pico 8.
Yeah.
Does that have the music and everything? Let's see.
Oh, yeah.
It does. Nice. Oh, that is wonderful. I only recently got into Pico 8 stuff. I don't know, maybe from watching Russ's videos, he was going on about it. And finally I'm like, all right, this is cute. This is fun. And I've used the RetroArch core and it runs horribly. So I kind of gave up on Pico 8 for the most part because I didn't realize that there was a lot of standalones beyond just the stock Pico 8 experience on Windows. So, and what you have on Linux. So I need to pick up Pico 8 and run it on my mini.
I'm watching a video of this right now. This is really impressive. Like this is giving really me hard it. Nostalgia.
I can't really play it on camera like this, but
dude, that looks great.
This is
like
running on the Miu Mini.
That's fantastic. Are there any upcoming platforms that you're working on or thinking about developing for?
So Android is the one.
Okay.
But it has a couple issues. The other thing is, Zep has said he may do an iOS and Android version after he releases Pico 8 1.0. Right now, Pico 8 is still in beta. That's actually one of the fun things about developing a Pico 8 emulator is it's a moving target. Like it's still recently out of alpha into beta.
Okay. I didn't know that.
And so the API is changing. Like, you know, a couple months ago, he released like a whole bunch of new features and it's like, oh man, I'm happy for the Pico 8 community, but now I got to go do more stuff.
Right.
My to-do list just got longer.
I feel that way every time Linux updates itself. I'm like, what got broken this time? Please.
What the hell happened now?
Yeah.
I just want to build Android, please. Well, that's cool.
Android maybe. Android's on the way. I'm kind of on the fence. Yeah. Android probably. I really want to do OG Xbox.
Oh, that'd be fun. Oh, that'd be cool.
It's got a 700 megahertz or 733 megahertz processor. I think it should work.
So
I've
tried right
once or twice and there was just a couple things that got in the way and I keep learning things and then I'll come back to it and I get closer and I keep learning things. And I'll come back to it. I think eventually I'll get OG Xbox.
If you do that, then it could potentially be ported all the way forward to Xbox One and Series X and all that stuff too.
Yeah, because that's another one that I've almost bought a Series S a couple times with the justification that I port to it.
Right, like all the other devices. Yeah,
like all the other ones sitting on my desk. Yeah. So the most recent one was the OpenDingX devices, like the 350M, and I have the 300X. Right.
I love my 300X. Thanks, Stubbs, by the way.
So that's one. It has one of the pretty good Pico emulators. It's got Taco 8 on it, and I have to give credit to Taco 8 because that was one of the places I initially looked to learn about the Pico 8 API. Mm-hmm. And I think he's just stopped developing it though, and so I was like, well,
too many tacos. I think it's time. I get it.
Yeah, I haven't seen much from him in the community in a while. And so I was like, well, I'm going to give it a go to get Pico 8 on the OpenDingX devices. And it, again, was relatively straightforward. It got it running there and just released on the most recent one. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so then Android, maybe OG Xbox, maybe Wii, maybe PS3.
Oh, PS3 would be fun too.
I'm a sucker for the console homebrew. And also, those are ones that are never going to run the official Pico 8.
Right.
Selfishly, if you could put it on Wii for me, because I got a Wii from Damien and a CRT monitor, and I guess I'm going to hook up a situation in the corner there. So I'm going to need something to do with it.
I think I might have to get a CRT as well. That's another one I've been trying to not do.
It's a Commodore, like 1703 or whatever, Amiga. You know, it's a Commodore 64 CRT, apparently.
Oh, that's great.
I've seen a couple pictures of Pico 8 running on CRTs, and it's like, that actually, I wouldn't expect it to look as good as it does.
It looks good. Steve, we're going to need this.
That pixel artist I was talking about, that YouTuber, he ends most of his YouTube videos with whatever he's done with the animations and stuff like that. He calls it CRT time on an actual CRT monitor, and it's always great. It's just a cute little thing, but it's always really good.
That's
fun. Yeah, I'd love to see Pico 8 running on or Fake 08 or even Taco 08 or any of the other. I'd love to see him running on a CRT. Is that a thing? Have people been doing this?
People in the Pico 8 Discord have hooked up Raspberry Pis to CRTs.
Hey, that's great.
Pico 8 that way. Yeah,
that's great. I didn't even know Raspberry Pis could do analog output like that.
I don't know the details of how it works, but yeah, there's one guy that built he 3D printed a case for his Raspberry Pi and he made little SD card cartridges that he plugs in to the Raspberry Pi console. And it's his Pico 8 and Tic 80 physical console.
Right. He'll have like a little Celeste cartridge that he puts in, and it's just like an SD card back with a 3D printed front or something like that.
Cool. And he plugs it in, and it detects that it's an SD card and boots directly into Pico 8 and launches the ROM that's on the SD card.
That's so awesome.
It's not pretty cool. Not a fantasy console anymore at that point. It's
making the fantasy a reality.
I mean, that's what the Miu Mini does in the Onion OS, right? With that cartridge mode. They're kind of trying to emulate that, which is it's really fun. Okay, Pico 8, as somebody who's getting into the hobby for Pico 8, what are like your favorite, what's like one of your first games you'd recommend to somebody to try out? I mean, besides Celeste, I know is number one, right?
Celeste is great. The next up, I would probably say UFO Swamp Odyssey. It's like a little mini Metroidvania with really awesome graphics. You're like an alien and your spaceship gets shot down and you have to like recollect the parts to fix your spaceship and leave. It takes maybe, I don't know, half an hour to play. That's a lot of Pico 8 games now are that, which again, going back to how often I play my Steam Deck, it's like, and for how long, it's like that fits perfectly. I love Pico 8 games because they're bite size, you know,
they're bite size, especially cause you're a dad, right? So you kids, 1, 2, 5.
Two
of the offspring. So you want to fit in these little bite-sized experiences where you can, you work, all this stuff. Yeah. And it's a wonderful accessory to your life, I think.
And
my daughter's not so into video games, is that everything that she watches me play is so intensely involved, like Spider-Man on PS5, right? Like, can you imagine that being your first game experience?
There's no time.
So yeah, another shout out to Pico 8 is actually a really great way to learn coding too. I've kind of dipped my toe into teaching my kids. They're more into doing the sprite art, but that's fine. You know, it's accessible to kids too, and is a really good learning environment. But
is there a specific program like A-Sprite or anything like that that you use with them?
It's all built into Pico 8.
Oh, okay. Cool.
So Pico 8, if you buy a license for it, it's $15. It's a whole game engine IDE all built into one, all at 128x128. And if you want to try it out, Zep actually just released a version that's all in the web. I should have grabbed the URL. I think it's pico8edu.com. And you can load up the whole thing.
Is there a dash in there?
Pico-8-edu.com. We'll make sure we leave that link in the description for people who want to learn how to do some of this.
Link in the description.
That's you me click right. that little plus and it loads into this command prompt. If you push escape, you get to the code editor, and then you can click across the top and you'll see the sprite editor, the map editor, the music editor. If you want to go in depth, Lazy Devs Academy on YouTube is a great learning source.
Cool.
So it's you pretty, it's Lua, right?
Yeah, it's a slightly modified version of Lua. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's pretty easy to get into. I just told it to print poop on screen, and it did.
And so, it did. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I didn't read a single instruction.
You're well, a PQA programmer now. Congratulations.
There you go.
Yeah. I'm a developer.
Guys.
Let's see. Where were we going with talking about?
Your games you recommend.
Great games. Oh, yeah. Games that are recommended. Yeah.
UFO Swamp Odyssey, I just said. Demon Castle is basically Castlevania. Ooh. Like Castlevania for NES style Castlevania.
And these are all available on itch.io, right?
These are all free, too.
For the most part, some of them are available on itch. The best place is the Lexilawful BBS. That's Lexilawful is Zepp's company name. I think it's just him. But
yeah, you can play it in browser, I'm seeing.
You can go try them out in browser. That's the best way to get cartridges to work with Fake 08, too, is you go to lexilawful.com, Peak 08, BBS, and then Featured Carts is basically a curated list. You can go browse through everything. There's over 10,000 at this point, I think. And so the featured carts are a pretty good way to start.
Yeah, because there's a lot of games on here. And this is like Castlevania. I'm playing it right now. This is like...
straight
this
to
so
it.
It's cute. This is so cute. Where's the achievements, got, like, though?
Branching. There's no built-in Pico 8 achievements. Somebody could build it into their own game, but maybe that's a way to differentiate Fake 08. I'll make a retro achievements for Fake 08.
Oh my gosh.
Did you
see his eyes light up? Oh my gosh. It's like,
if
I mean,
you did that.
Oh.
Just
tie him off already.
I will send you the Batman poster if you do that.
Are there any size limitations?
I may do it anyway. Yeah, there's pretty considerable size limitations. Your Pico 8 cart has to fit in 32 kilobytes.
Okay. Wow. So classic NES rules. Not bad.
And they're JPEG files too, which is they're pings. Like PNG files.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So that's, we're going to take another detour here to talk about how cool this is. That if you're browsing the BBS, you pick a cart to play, and you've in the lower left-hand corner of the player, there's the little cart image, and you right click on that, save as, that's your game. If you look at it up close,
that's fun. That's really fun.
If you look at it up close, you can see that it's just a little bit fuzzy. That's because the game data is encoded into the lower bits of the image.
Huh.
And so he generates the image and then goes through pixel by pixel and puts in the bits of the game data into the image. And so it's, what's it called? Steganographically encoded.
Yeah.
So it's pretty freaking rad.
That's so nerdy and awesome to combine all of that into that one thing. So you can just right click and download the image, and the image is the game. That's so much thought that goes into that. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. What's cool is that the files, like once they're on your hard drive, like, you know, they show up as thumbnails. So like you got your album art is, or your cover art is built right in to it. The only complication is like adding it into Launchbox like you would with any other system. You have to basically take the image, make sure it's the same name as whatever Launchbox calls the game, and
right.
And Launchbox doesn't have a built-in scraper for it yet, so you got to do it all manually. And
okay, I'm not the only thing that I got. Launchbox. I probably need to pay more attention to the user experience of actually launching games, but I have more fun trying to squash the bugs and increase compatibility.
You know,
well, you and Hob
don't worry about that.
Let
the front end guys that mess with that crap constantly do that. They have other things to worry about, like getting scraping working on Android, which still isn't a thing, like outside of
we got
RetroArch and Reset, by the way. amazingly. Yeah,
we got a guy for this.
We got it. We got
it. It works.
It's hot.
We got a guy for this. Don't worry about it. Don't you worry your pretty little head about scraping. We'll just guys for that. Also, as far as aesthetics, you do look great. People listening, Jay to the Bell, great looking dude. The piano he has in the background also looks like it's calling to us to play it. I just want to go play like a little do 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 do. Very like ready to.
Yeah, I told this to Stubbs before we started recording that I can't play. I mean, I can touch the keys. I can't make good music with it. But my wife is a talented musician, so that's why we have a piano.
Are you just having your kids learn as well?
Yeah, she's teaching the kids as well. Yep,
that's great.
My kids piano now over and learn
for 2 years. I started when she was seven, and she's okay.
She's working on her.
She's not amazing, but she can pick out Christmas carols and stuff. So
we try to incentivize it a little bit. I don't know the exact details of the compensation rate, but the rate there of practicing one. Goes up when there's like a cool Pokemon card coming out or something.
Ooh, that's smart, actually. Or it's Barbies. It's Barbies in our house right now.
Yeah.
It always is. So to derail you, I just my plan.
Switch back to recommended Pico 8 games. Yeah.
two outs.
The layer is like a side scrolling beat 'em up with that's just like a knight fantasy theme. That one's really cool. X-Zero is like a procedurally generated Turrican clone, basically.
Oh, okay.
It's like a shoot 'em up.
What's this X-Wing versus TIE Fighter I see here on the front page for?
It's a remake of the old, it's just line 3D. OG What's one? That called? Vector graphics.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really good. I really like Wobble Paint. Wobble Paint was made by Zepp, the creator. It's a paint program, but all your lines just wobble a little bit. And so like you draw something and it just cutely wobbles. And it's really cool to do on the 3DS with the stylus.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
It works with the touchscreen on the Vita too.
Can you do it on the Switch and on with the back Switch, pad on the Vita? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Or you do it on the front with the Vita. On the front touchscreen.
Right. Vita has the touchscreen. That's right. Mm-hmm. I just never use it. I just never use it. Because I only ever use it for the PS2 ports. Those are my favorites.
Yeah. I'm definitely drawing really well with it right now. It's hard to.
Let's see what else we have here. Oh my gosh.
I made a little list, so I'm just going down it because I figured this question would come up. Alpine Alpaca is like a deck builder game where you're an alpaca that's skiing down and you have to play different cards to move through the gates and avoid the trees.
That's fun.
Slipways is a cool it's like a strategy game where you have to explore the galaxy and like get resources between planets that actually grew kind of like Celeste into a proper indie game that's on Steam. It's the shout out to that, I can't remember the developer's name, but cool game on the Pico 8 and on Steam.
Fun.
Dank Tomb is Dank one of the Tomb. Is a really great it's almost like a Zelda dungeon but with really really cool lighting.
Okay.
And if you're interested in Pico 8 development, he has a pretty good set of blog posts about how he does the lighting. He does some really cool direct memory manipulation to do the real-time lighting.
Okay. This is very advanced. Yeah, this is pretty nuts.
And then Poom, we mentioned earlier, is a Doom clone. It's really cool.
Love it. Love that.
Not Doom 8. Poom.
No. Poom. Yeah. Apparently, when I tweeted about my latest release that runs Poom, some guy from Brazil, I think, tweeted at me like, do you know that Poom is really close to fart in Portuguese? And I was like, perfect. That's not my name, man. I didn't come up with that. There's a No Man's Sky demake called Low Mem Sky.
Low Man's
what?
Low Mem Sky.
Low Mem Sky. Gotcha.
Yeah. So
I'm looking all these up, obviously, as we go here. This is
there's a Terraria demake called Terra. That's pretty cool if you like Terraria. Mm-hmm. So these are all demakes actually in this part of the list. There's R-Type, that's a demake of the shooter R-Type, is pretty right. cool.
I'll have to try that out.
Low Knight sure. is a demake of Hollow Knight, also really hard. Pico Driller is I can't remember, it's like a old Namco game. It's pretty faithful, pretty cool. There's nice. Katamari Christmassy, it's a Katamari game in Pico 8 and it's Christmas themed.
Yeah.
There's like Pico Hot. That is a super hot demake made by the super hot devs as an April That's Fool's awesome. Joke.
Seriously?
It's super cool. Yeah, yeah. Check that one out. That's really cool.
That's like a crossover right there. That's cool. Okay.
Yeah. And the last one I have on my list, there's lots of other good ones. So sorry to all the great Pico 8 devs that have games I'm not counting, shouting out, but there's Fuzz, which is a Fez demake that's also really good.
Oh, that's cool. So it sounds like there's a lot of really great demakes that have been happening. Do you know of anything else that's upcoming with demakes? I keep seeing like Elden Ring demakes and Zelda demakes and things like that, people talking about it. So
I haven't heard of any of those for Pico 8.
Okay.
The other recent one that did come out was Undune. It's a demake of the Dune 2 RTS game.
That's
made wow. by the same that's guy that of, did the Low Mem Sky.
That's a lot of dedication.
That's impressive. Yeah, yeah, and this Low Mem Sky is very impressive. Like, it's actually the game with a lot of the elements in it. It's everything's very tiny.
Yep, it's very tiny. Your guy is like 4 pixels going do 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 do.
We'll make sure we get all these links in the description, and we'll
try
also
to
make sure
I'll try to remember.
We'll try to remember. Right? Yeah. Sure. Okay. we'll make sure we get all these links in the description. And is there anything else that we need to be linking to? Anything else people should know about Pico 8 development, Fake 8 development, anything like that?
Fake 8, just you can follow the GitHub releases or follow me on Twitter. I pretty much tweet when there's
all right,
we'll
make sure
release.
We get the Twitter out there too. That's great.
At Pico 8, J to the Bell?
Yeah, J to the Bell on Twitter and GitHub. Okay. So following Pico 8, yeah, if you follow Zep on Twitter, go to lexilawful.com. You can, or the Pico 8 EDU as well.
Cool.
Check that out. As far as like good resources for learning, I mentioned Lazy Devs Academy. He's had content on Russ's channel as well. They've done a couple crossovers when Russ has done Pico 8 content.
Cool. I saw that. He's got really Russ's good stuff. Son was working on a game with him or something, right?
Yep. So Christian he's really good at teaching about Pico 8 and giving a rundown. He's a big fan of the, his favorite Pico 8 handheld is the Game Force Chi, even though it's got those blinding lights.
We know the Chi well. It's a great console for it.
That was one of those things that we ported Android to and then like 4 people downloaded it.
Right, yeah, you guys got it going, which is great, and the people who have their cheese are all about them too.
They are,
like, if you got one, there's a special quality to that handheld.
I was considering the Chi for my 351 device, but ended up getting the 351
the V. Yeah,
I had to get one that had a 640 by 480 screen because sometimes you just gotta have the
integer scaling,
non-cropped integer scaling for Pico 8, and with a 320 by 240 screen or 480 by 240 screen, it just doesn't really cut it.
Yeah, so, well, Thor is with you there. I think his favorite 351 is probably the V, right?
It's so good. Like, I mean, we always joke about, oh, you don't need the second stick anyway, unless you want to play Ape Escape, you know? So,
exactly. Well, I wanted to
or Marathon. Shout out. I discovered that.
Oh,
Marathon.
That takes me back.
I'm a big Bungie fan. My favorite game ever is
Bungie.
Yeah, Myth 2 is my favorite game ever. Shout out to the 2 people still around who know what that is. But
I have no idea what that is, but I'm going to Google it at some point.
Completely unrelated to this podcast, but it's a great game.
Everything's related to this podcast. Damn it.
Myth 2, Soul Blighter.
Batman.
Soul Blighter, yeah.
All right.
I wanted to give a quick shout out to I haven't played a ton of PQA games, but the ones I have played that I've loved have been all made by one dev. Their name is Mott, M-O-T. Mott's Grand Prix. Mott's
Grand Prix is cool. Yeah.
Pool. Mott's 8-Ball Pool. There's also like a Dungeon Crawler one or like
The Sorcerer one. Yeah.
The Sorcerer, yeah. I fell into them, and just that's as far as I've gotten into the hobby. I just played the crap out of those three games. So shout out to Mott.
There are some all-stars doing great Pico 8 games. The guy that did Lone Sky he's done a bunch of really good ones. The guy that did Dank Tomb did a bunch of good ones. The guy that did Poom did a bunch of good ones. Like they're all like, if you find and drill into any of those one games, chances are they've made other ones too. So yeah.
Cool. Well, I'm excited for the D-makes. This is actually something that I want to try out now, is all these D-makes. Yeah. This looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah. I got to pick which device to play these on. I think the mini sounds like kind of like the right device. You got the 640 by 480 screen. It's a quaint, comfy system, and it runs Pico 8 games well.
It has a decent battery, so you can really go to town.
Yeah, good batteries.
There's going to be, Fake 8's compatibility is not perfect, so there's going to be a few that don't work if you play on the mini, but most of them should. But yeah, if you really want perfect compatibility, you got to run Pico 8 proper.
Cool.
And that doesn't run on the mini, right?
Doesn't run on the mini, no.
So Fake 8 is the way to go.
Yeah, Fake 8 is the only way to go on the mini. You can run Retro 8 the core
on any system.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there is if any other Pico 8 app tries to enter the space, we'll say no. Fake 8 or no.
There's a couple other good ones.
Fake 8 only. No, they're all bad.
Sounds like a very welcoming. I'm going to shout out Taco 8. I'm going to shout out Zepto 8. I'm going to shout out Pemsa. I'm going to shout out Pico Love. They're all good, and I learned something from all those ones. So
yeah, it's a very like unifying scene. It sounds like everybody's friends. Yeah. Everybody sort of contributes to each other's projects. That is heartwarming to hear. It warms my cockles. Yeah.
Didn't think that there'd be as much drama as the PS2 emulation scene, did you?
I don't know. Well, exactly. Like on the one end, there's the PS2 emulators. They just...
They can't. Yeah, they can't even. Here, yeah.
The Pico 8, where everything's very like, let's squish together.
I think the biggest drama in the Pico 8 emulator scene are the people that are like, why do we need an emulator when we have Pico 8? Which is fair.
Sure. Sure.
My answer to that is it doesn't run on my 3DS.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, or man. My Switch or my Vita or my Wii U or my 300X or my Mio Mini or my V90.
So what started as a proof of concept for fun became this whole thing. And now it's just growing and growing and growing. Well, dude, we have been... It's been awesome having you on tonight. It really has. Nerding out about Pico 8.
It's been a pleasure.
Covering some different things. Before we kind of wrap up here, what is your favorite retro handheld?
Ooh. Knife that in the sand. Let's one. Go.
Just hands down. If I have to pick one forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go with the new 3DS XL.
Oh yeah, yes. You got those IPS screens on there?
Yeah.
I only have mine's IPS on top, not dual.
But that's
IPS.
still that you got an IPS in there at all is amazing. Yeah. Is that the Zelda?
This is a final decal thing I got on here. Yeah, it's just a black one. But
you made yourself a Zelda Panda one. It looks awesome.
It does look awesome. I'm sitting here thinking, where do I get that skin? Because I have the gold.
I need it.
Gold Zelda one.
I would say the 3DS. It plays all the 3DS's library. First of all, is amazing.
Yeah, it is.
And the DS library is amazing, and it plays GBA natively. I played through Castlevania Symphony of the Night for the first time on my 3DS. So it does some PlayStation.
Really? Yeah. I had no idea.
I don't know that I would dare try 3D PlayStation. And there was a couple places with slowdown on Symphony of the Night, but
where it's not. Okay.
But it was overall a good experience. And
I have yet to hack my 3DS, but I need to. I want to learn.
You need to get on it. It's so easy now.
3DS.hacks.guide. Really?
Oh,
okay.
No more R4 carts or anything like that. You can just straight hack it now.
No, I know. Well, gosh, there's a couple more things I know we wanted to hit on before we completely wrap it up. I know we always say this, but the stuff coming up. So I have a play date. A play date will be here tomorrow, supposedly. So I think we might do a live stream and do an unboxing, something like that.
Nice. You gonna take it apart?
And no, I'll send it to you for that.
Come on, but I believe it. I believe it.
You want to walk me through it?
Sure.
I got the blue take aparter mat that you have.
The take aparter mat. Oh man,
take aparter mat.
Professional. Professional. That'll
be. You know, I pair that with my huge A4 cutting board.
Your cutty aparty mat? Is that
my cutty aparty mat? My party time mat. We can try that. I mean, we can take apart my play date. I'll break it. I will break it. It will not work again. And I'll never be able to play any of Jade of the Bells hard work on the device that gets ported over eventually.
Because it may never get there. But
I believe in not many things, but I believe in this. I believe in this dream. So we got the play dates content coming up. We got the 503 content coming up. We have a dev unit showing up soon, right, Thor?
Soon.
And then what else are we doing around the horizon? Oh, the Miu Mini V2, that's coming up. So that's on the way. I got to make a video for the Q35, the new power bank, and it that plays NES games. Everyone's very excited for it from PowKitty.
Jim Gray is making a playdate game, so I may corner him into a stream or something like that and have him talk us through some of the Lua scripting for Pulp.
Yeah, I would love to learn.
If he's interested. I don't know if he's interested. I haven't even asked him. I'm just bringing it up so I can put him on the spot and I can have people at him and be like, oh, Jim, you should totally do that.
Yeah, we need to bother Jim. We just need more Jim.
He doesn't do enough for the community as it is. You know, he better do some more.
He needs
Jim.
Double time. He was going to do an unboxing of the playdate, but then he filmed one, and then he's kind of sitting on it right now. I think he got distracted with his playdate. I figured something about Tony Hawk. Me and him always talk Tony Hawk.
Tony Hawk. Those are great.
Those are great.
It made
great.
Me so happy when those worked well on the Mini.
Yes. I think so was Jim.
Absolutely.
I think he said, this is now the handheld for me. Well, cool. The last thing, and you know, we got to do this, everybody. We got to do Shit Talk Lightning Rounds with our guest here.
Oh my gosh.
You know, we got to complain. We are aging men in our 30s.
I'm gonna leave one in while it's still fresh in my soul.
Okay? All right, go.
AYN stands for all you need, right?
Oh, I did not know that.
Yes. That all you need, Odin.
What?
Right? That's what AYN stands for.
I did not know. Who says this?
When? Since always. Go to AYN.HK. That's the whole ethos of the company.
Who said... Oh, my God.
Did I just blow your mind?
You just blew my mind. All I'm still not you seeing it. Need... I don't see this, and I think it's fake news, but did they I still want to believe.
I promise you that's what AYN stands for. I promise
that
you.
That is fantastic. But anyways, what your complaint is what?
My complaint is about the stock ROM. That's my complaint. That's my whole Shit Talk Lightning round. Goddamn. Okay, how about that?
That you had to go and do that yourself because they wouldn't do it.
Well, I'm not going to sit here and talk about the effort that it was. What I will say, though, is it would have been really easy to release like anywhere at any point.
Sure, at any point in time.
Right. But no.
but no. So you so you rode in on your valiant, on your horse.
Oh no, don't do that.
You
don't
took
do
out
that.
Your hammer. No. And you said, no, listen, everybody, Daddy Thor is going to come in here Daddy and give you stock.
I hate that. Thank you for that. I hate that.
Because that's Daddy Thor. Voice in your own head, though? Is that
the voice in my head? Is more like Christian Bale Batman.
Self-narrating.
I rode in on my white horse with my hammer.
I'm congested.
I unfucked their shit.
And I can't laugh right now. Don't make me laugh.
That's really it. Just companies release firmware packages for your devices. Please. This is not a complicated thing. They are like constantly under the impression that someone's going to rip them off if they get their firmware. Like, guys, anybody, if once you get a device, anybody can pull the firmware off. Anybody can copy the motherboard design. All right. Anybody can do it. This isn't a complicated thing. All right. I don't have to break out the soldering iron or anything like that. I can literally just plug it into my computer and copy it all off. That's all you have to do. So please, device manufacturers, just release a stock firmware package for your devices. There you go. That's my whole round.
I get it, man. I get it. I feel you. I understand. For me, let's see. Oh, man. RG503. Man, Cheeto Steve, really. He was on fire for this handheld, man. He got into that factory like 2 in the morning, and he was like, this is going to have an OLED screen from the PS Vita. That is awesome. Let's make it more awesome. Let's give it 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi, but not allow it to actually stream coherently.
But break moonlight on it.
But break moonlight. It was hilarious. Let's give them a beautiful, beautiful screen, a little bit more performance than the 351 series, but then totally pull the rug out from under PSP. The aspect ratio the device is sort of centered around, it doesn't play well at all. Watching Russ's video
for
today,
kicks,
I'm like,
let's cap them at 1 gigabyte of RAM so they can't play any ports.
1 gig of RAM, it's going to hamper lineage. You know, it's not a whole. We can do lineage for it, but we can't go balls to the wall. And this is such a compromise device.
Hey, now wait a minute.
What?
Turtle just released. Yeah, I put the release out. We just released Lineage 15.1 for the Retroid Pocket 1 that has 512 megabytes of RAM. All right. Lineage 15.1 exists on the Retroid Pocket 1. Okay.
All right. I won't touch that aspect of it.
It works.
Lineage will work. You developers are mad geniuses and you're crazy and I love you. But
apparently
the point is,
Celeste won't.
Dude, this handheld has so many compromises to it. Why? Every time. It's not all you need. This incremental device, like, it's not even incrementally better. It's just sort of like to the side.
Ambernick now has Cheeto Steve on staff, though. All right. So
they hired him.
He was a contractor before, but now he's on salary.
That's right.
He's a blue badge employee now. He's just there covering Cheeto dust all over this new. And Russ was like, this is the first Ambernic handheld that doesn't feel premium because it also has buttons that grind against the shell. And so it creates this dust. It literally creates the Cheeto dust for you as you're playing on it, which is, I don't know if that's a feature or a fucking bug.
Is it creating the dust or is the dust left in there by Cheeto Steve? Which one is it?
I mean, I think it's a self-propagating system. So he's in. A little bit of Cheeto Steve is
He seeds the Cheeto dust in there and it creates more dust. Is that what you're saying?
He creates an infinite amount, a cacophony of Cheeto Steve dust, and just you hear the grinding as you're playing, and that's the sound Cheeto Steve makes. And it's just, it's a horrible experience. And yeah, I know the 2 Plus Batch 1, Retroid Pocket Batch 1 units had the same issue, which we all forgave because we get it. Like, it's not a premium super tier handheld anyways. But why? And I already ordered the thing too. Like, I already bought the 503.
That's why I asked you. We were in DM. I was like, so did you buy this? Like,
Obviously.
Would you buy it from Ali or did you buy it directly from Ambernic? Like what you spent?
I bought it. Well, you got the dev unit. So I mean, I do want one to mess around with and do a review on and do an unboxing, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So I had to get it quick. And I hopped on Ambernic's site and just got it direct because they have it on sale for $134.99. Apparently it's going up to like $150 or something after, something crazy like that, which at that price point, no. And
no,
but I hope to be surprised. I hope that there's a use for it. I hope that maybe we can get Fico 8 on it and I can do some, like, maybe it's a beautiful OLED Pico 8 experience, or maybe it's a beautiful OLED. I don't know.
I'm gonna tell you what's gonna happen. All right,
it plays SNES games.
It's gonna get a custom firmware that's gonna make it a lot better. And then once the price finally drops to like 110 or like 120, then it'll get more popular. But by then, somebody else like Retroid or somebody will have something even better.
Better. We give us 6 months with it. Basically, what you're going to get for this is a beautiful screen, which is, guess what? The same thing, the same conclusion we had on the 552. This is like waking up on Groundhog's Day. Every time it's like, all right, it's a beautiful screen. It's an Ambernic device.
Apparently, it also has a bad battery life, right?
Don't tell me that. Do not tell me.
I saw somewhere
that's
like 2 hours.
I thought Russ said it was good.
Oh, did he?
I thought
that's
Russ
the one said, saving grace.
I think I watched that today. I thought he said it was 6+.
Oh, okay. All right. It must have been something else then. It may have been for the Windows handheld that got canceled.
I mean, I don't have a 552 because of battery life. So if it has decent battery life, I'll keep it. Otherwise, like, I don't know. We'll do it. It'll go towards the holiday giveaway or something. where someone will love it, the love it deserves. And I'll have ground up the buttons enough to where it's not sticky anymore.
All right, Jay, you're up. That's Stubbs. That's Stubbs. What do you got?
Mine is kind of played out. It's been said many times before, and even on the podcast.
We'll join you in it, whatever it is. Come on. Come on. Let's go.
Okay, we've established how much I like Nintendo's hardware and Zelda and Mario.
Yeah.
But what the heck is up with your eShop? Come on.
Oh, man.
Yeah. What the hell is up with that?
Here, and the one piece that I feel like is not as played out with like them shutting down and stuff, but like I like indie games. I like having them in handheld mode. I'm a fan of ports and stuff coming to these Linux devices. I have a handful on the 3DS that like I kind of wanted to play again, but like I also kind of wanted to play on a different device too. But they're trapped. Right. I have Shovel Knight. I have 1001 Spikes. I have some Shantae game. One of the Shantae games that I think is cross-platform. It's like you won't even let me bring that forward to the Switch. Like if I want to play them on the Switch, I've got to buy them again.
So you're almost exclusively talking about 3DS forward compatibility on another platform, right?
That's what I'm saying. I'm adding to the conversation. I'm just as upset about everybody else as about the eShops closing down. And the other thing that I realized recently, we got an OLED Switch in addition to my V1 launch Switch that runs Homebrew.
Yeah.
Right.
And it sucks to share games. Like I went all in on digital on the Switch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too. And now I'm the exact opposite. Like, no, I will not buy a digital Switch game anymore because
it's going to eventually go away.
It's going to go away. But even now, like, so my kids play, they have their own accounts. We paid Nintendo for a family Nintendo Online account, but the kids can't play the games that we have purchased from Nintendo on the alternate Switch. It says, no, you don't have permission to do this. The way their sharing works, only the primary account can play it on the secondary Switches.
Oh, right.
And only if nothing else is being played, which that I kind of get, you know.
It's like Steam. Same thing.
But these accounts are connected together on Nintendo Switch Online. They should be able to play the games on the other Switch. I threw so much money at you, Nintendo. I really wanted to like you. And then I bought more hardware. And this is how you treat me?
Now you got to buy more cartridges.
Yeah. So that's where we're at now. It's like, I'm not buying any more digital Switch games. I'm buying physical Switch games, and any indie games I'm buying on Steam or GOG, and I'm playing on the Steam Deck.
Yeah.
Because
hell yeah.
I'm all in on Linux gaming going forward. I mean, not quite all in. I still have Windows too, but
I guess
I'm excited about the prospect of Linux being a good gaming platform. That's one of the things I love about the Steam Deck. Yeah.
I guess I haven't considered 3DS a whole lot, mostly because 3DS emulation is a little janky, and we don't really have good dual screen emulation devices yet.
Yeah.
I constantly hope that GPD or somebody decent will release a dual screen with really solid 3DS compatibility. I'm not worried about the actual 3D aspect. I'm one of those people that I bought two 3DSs. I turned it off instantaneously. Tried it out, off.
Done. But, same.
But as far as the 3DS CIAs and things like that go, that compatibility of making sure that I can install it on another system or even just play it outside of a desktop environment, hopefully within the next generation or two of handheld devices, we get a GPD something or other dual screen. That would be because they're the only ones really making good hinged devices right now.
Right.
That's the other reason why I like this one. I'm with Stubbs. I like the clamshell. I like that I can put it in my pocket and not worry about the screen getting scratched.
I love that. Yeah. And plus 3DS, really, your best experience for 3DS gaming is on the 3DS still.
Yeah. I love Zelda. I've got this thing on here. It's a Zelda powerhouse, you know, short of.
Yeah.
But the like four most recent games.
Yeah. Well,
plays them all.
Going from original Game Boy all the way forward, all those Zelda games, I mean.
Yep.
GBA alone was awesome. So.
Yeah.
And Switch games you can now enjoy on other platforms. So
I haven't actually tried that yet, but yeah, I've been tempted to.
it's we're at that point now. Nintendo has left us no choice.
That's kind of where I'm feeling. That's
balls in their court though. I'm willing to turn back time if they loosen their beeholes just a little bit.
Just a little bit
for me.
Just a little bit. I managed to load up and play Kirby on the Steam Deck like right away, you know. So that was a brand new game.
I mean, proof's in the Nintendo pudding there.
I guess. Yeah.
That's done.
Well, I do agree with you. I hope that they consider forward porting some of those games to touchscreen devices and maybe even figuring out a way to have a screen device sort of like the Wii U or something like that, where you can have the touchscreen on the tablet and then have the actual video game output on the TV, maybe for the next Switch or something like that, where you can hold it and then it'll Wi-Fi 5 gigahertz to the dock with the screen. That's what I would do personally, but
that's cool.
I would do that as well while sitting in that beautiful Victorian chair in the back of your room, Jaden Bell. That looks like is that a comfortable chair? Can you sit in that chair for me for a minute?
We're done.
I want to watch you sit in that chair.
We quit. Thank you all for tuning in again.
The chair is in here because it doesn't match anything else in our house.
Perfect. My wife would love that, though. That's her style right now.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Make sure you check us out. discord.gg/retrohandhelds, patreon.com/retrohandhelds. Jade of the Bell, Super Grom, bro, thank you so much for hanging out with us today. We had a really awesome time.
That's great. Thanks for having me.
Thank you both.
All right, we'll catch you guys later.
See you guys next time.
Bye.